Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And I am broadcasting tonight from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I had the pleasure of speaking at a wonderful, wonderful bookstore called The Journeys of Life. And that's in the Shadyside area of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the owner is Gene Heller, and we just had a fabulous time. And I did consultations all day Saturday, all day Sunday, today, and I'm doing consultations tomorrow on Monday. And I'm coming back to Pittsburgh on the 21st and 22nd to do a level one. So for those folks who are in the Pittsburgh area or know people in the Pittsburgh area, tell them to give me a call at 216-691-1233, and I can tell you all about the Pittsburgh plans. The other thing is I want to send out a very, 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 very heartfelt thank you to Lorraine Renshaw. She is a level 2 student and of the Akashic Records, and she lives in Pittsburgh, but she has just been wonderful. She really took care of me well this weekend, driving me around, buying me lunch, making me dinner. She's just been super, and telling her friends so that we had a lot of folks on board for the introductory lecture that was Friday evening and the consultations as well. Another, I hear your caller. I'll just hang with me for just a minute.
Okay.
And I also want to say thank you to Susan Siegel because she was very integral in getting folks there, and Cecilia Hart. So these are all good friends and some students of the Akasha. So I just wanted to say I love you and thank you for helping me anchor this energy. So we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Is this Nikki?
No, this is Mary.
I'm sorry, Mary?
Yes.
Hi, Mary. Where are you calling from, Mary?
I'm calling from Hollywood,
Florida, or Hollywood, California?
No, California.
All right. Are you a movie star?
No, not even close.
Oh, well. I thought maybe there was a movie star calling incognito. Then I guess you wouldn't admit it anyway, now would you?
I wouldn't.
How are you, Mary? Have you listened to the program before?
Actually, I never have. I'm brand new to this whole thing. Someone told me about it, and so I've been listening for the last day. And it's been very interesting, and I saw your advertisement and felt that perhaps you could give me the answer to my question.
I will do my best. The records of the program are open.
Okay.
And the more specific the question, the better the answer.
Okay.
And for those people, let me put a shout out so that folks that are trying to call in, the line might be busy until Mary and I get done talking. Have no fear. You can email me a question at info, and it's info@akashicwisdom.com. So my computer is on, and I'm waiting for a question. So that's great. Okay, Mary. How can we help you? Are you familiar with the Akashic Records?
I am.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Okay. So, go ahead.
I'm supposed to be moving from where I've lived for the last 12-plus years because my building is going to be scheduled for demolition.
All right.
I know this because I've been told so by the owner, but in the meantime, we're just all hanging in limbo because we have no idea when this is going to happen.
Okay.
That's basically the question, unless there was something else you wanted to tell me, which is fine.
So you're asking me when the building's going to go down?
When we're going to get our notice to leave, so we can all start planning to get out of here.
Okay, well, here's my challenge. Since you've never listened to the program, let me kind of give you a little bit of information. When I work with the Akashic Records, you have to understand, especially everything that we do in this life is based on free will choice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that is really anchored in stone in the Akasha other than our experience or our soul's intention of experience. So your owner could decide to bring it down in 30 days, and then he could change his mind and make it 120 days.
Got it.
So the idea here is it's really, really more about, and so the records will rarely tell you what to do, but they'll give you all the information so that you're able to make the appropriate decisions.
Okay.
So I don't consider myself a psychic because I don't do futures necessarily.
Right. Okay.
And I really don't dabble that much in past lives unless it comes up in an individual consultation, which sometimes it definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I do past life regressions with people. What the work that I do with the Akasha is helping people understand what's blocking them from being all that they can be, or what talents they need to expand, just as from an action step point of view, or why certain things have happened in their life so they can make peace with it and move on, and that and everything else. So the question that really is here, what I'm getting, okay, is if you know this is happening, what are you doing to take care of yourself so you're not left in a victim mode?
Nothing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Just waiting.
And so what happens, and there was like, the idea here is you're waiting and you're not making a choice, right?
Right.
And if you were to become proactive about finding a place that you may in fact like better, you would have more leverage, wouldn't you?
Of course.
So what's up with that?
Well, see, the thing is, I'm thinking seriously about moving to another state.
Okay.
But since I've lived here for such a long time, it would behoove me to stay here till the end because I stand to make a substantial amount of money.
Sure.
You know, because I'd be bought out.
Uh-huh.
So it would be very foolish of me to just trip off to Florida.
Oh, no. The comment was not about you actually physically moving. It was about what are you actively doing to put yourself in a position so you don't feel like a victim. Now, clearly, by being bought out, it'll give you a lot of leeway where you could stay wherever you wanted until you found mm-hmm. the right place, correct?
Sure.
Okay. So, but where do you really want to be, Mary?
Well, I'd really want to be in Europe, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So my second choice is Florida, so that's where I will be. Hard to look for a place in Florida if I'm still living here.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I've sort of looked and found a town near Miami where I will probably eventually end up.
Okay.
It's just this terrible feeling of insecurity, not knowing from one day to the next when I'm going to be able to do that. That's really
sure.
the reason I called.
No, that's good. So here's what's coming forth from the records is that, interestingly enough, even though your building is scheduled for demolition, what they're saying is that it's actually going to take longer than the landlord knows.
Okay.
Yep. So just know that's true. They're not giving me a time or a date, but it's longer than he or she suspects. There's some kind of glitch that's happening that needs to be ironed out based on the use of the property after it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it's possible, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of work do you do?
I own a small medical services company.
Okay, so you could take that anywhere, right?
Oh, absolutely. I could be sitting on a beach somewhere doing it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, yeah. It's just that I think I've totally outgrown this place, you know, and I was waiting for it to sell it, so it sold, as I figured it would.
Yeah.
And I knew it would be demolished, and it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
So this is the final phase. And so it seems to be the hardest to get through since I've gotten through all the other phases, you know?
Right.
I think sometimes when you get close to the end, it's the hardest time.
Well, sometimes, yeah, that's true. But it has to do with how much somebody, and this includes everyone in the building, which you can't control, how hard they're holding on to resist the change.
No, everybody here stands to make thousands, and everybody's happy to go because everyone's going to have, you know, really nice little amount of money to go somewhere where they want to be. And it's not a very big building anyway. It's a very small building.
Yeah, but there, I'm just, again, just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yeah, sure. I would appreciate it.
Sure, sure. So I'm sorry that I can't give you an exact date.
No problem. You know, that's good enough.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I hope you continue. I hope you continue listening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Okay, so let me just, for those people who are just tuning in or just, you know, there's a lot of folks that say, well, everything is written in the Akashic Records, so why can't you tell me how that is? Well, the way the Akashic Records work is that by telling you specifics, again, because it's based on free will choice, what's true today may not be true tomorrow. And so because today may not, the way it changes, telling you one thing actually sometimes, in many cases, takes the power away from someone. So the work that I do with the Akasha, the way I've been trained, and the way that I work with people, and the way I teach people how to work with the records, is how to ask the appropriate questions so that you get the guidance you need in what you need to do. So that that information is there for you. And the other thing is if you are interested in asking a question, it's so helpful if I have your current legal name, and I don't like to say that on the air, so the best way to do that is by emailing me your question and giving me your current legal name so I can ask the question on your behalf and use your name silently. So again, the email address to email your questions is info, I-N-F as in Frank, O, at akashicwisdom.com. Okay, so interestingly enough, when I was here, one of the last things that I did this evening before coming back to the hotel is my friend Lorraine Renshaw, my friend and student, took me up to the top of the area of Mount Washington, which overlooks the all of the downtown Pittsburgh. It's where the three rivers meet. And one of the things that was important to her and her question was, now first of all, let me back up and give you some information. Where the three rivers meet here in Pittsburgh is a very powerful vortex area. And the vortex that is here actually has a connection, what the records are telling me now, has a connection with the Mayan civilization way back when. Now, I understand that that may not be logical when it comes to geography, but there is a definite Mayan connection here in Pittsburgh with the Mayans and the vortexes. And the reason that's curious is because the prayer that I use to open up the Akashic Records consciously is a prayer that is has been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English. And so this discussion actually began Friday evening. Now, one of the things that I also teach when we do the workshops for a level two is I teach people how to open up the records of other people with their permission, naturally. But they're also the records of the land and animals. And just because of a time frame and being short on time, we were not able to open up the records of that area tonight. And that whole area, because there's an area around that Mount Washington that's considered public property, because Lorraine would be a taxpayer, she could ask her records if she could open the records of that land. Gets a little bit confusing. But anyway, we didn't do that. But her question was, again, what do the Earth vortexes, what is the relationship between the Earth's vortexes and 2012? And so what's interesting about those three rivers is the vortex that is there. But what I'm being told right now is that because we're moving into a different phase of consciousness, a different level of consciousness, in fact, it's already started, what will happen is the vortexes that are known, many of them that are clockwise, are actually going to change their direction. Now, what is going to happen there is when a vortex that's near water changes its direction from clockwise to counterclockwise, you can imagine there might be a bit of an event. Now, what's happening here is it's almost, this is so strange. I've never seen this picture before, but it's like they're showing me like the rivers are almost drained and then they refill themselves. It's very strange, and I've never seen this picture before. But the issue about the vortexes in 2012 is that the vortexes of energy are actually, that are on the planet now, are continuations of energy centers that are actually galactic in nature. And the vortexes, the energetic vortexes, in many cases can be measured from one side of the Earth to the other, is what they're showing me. So that the vortex actually goes right through the planet. So what's true on one side of the world is the true other side of the world. That there's a vortex of energy that moves right through the planet in different areas. And the way they are spaced have to do with portals for higher levels of consciousness and for various types of beings. It's almost like alien ETs, whatever you want to call them, that the vortexes, because they're energy centers and because these beings can travel by what they're calling dematerialize, they actually travel via the vortexes from one place to another on the planet, which I find fascinating. So if anyone has any information out there and would like to discuss that or has any questions around that, this program is as good as your questions. So please feel free to give a call, ask a question, make a comment, and you know, you don't have to agree with me. You can, you know, if you have differing information, let's discuss it. And because there are very various levels of consciousness, and it's not about being right. It's about exploring what the information is and how it's, and what it's coming forward. So if you're out there and you'd like to call in, it's toll free in the United States, 877-876-5227. And in the U.S. and Canada, you can dial 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country and would like to dial direct, our country code is 01. And our direct line is 530-876-3222. So that's very interesting. So I would love to continue this conversation, but again, this program is only as good as your questions about wanting to have more clarity or creating a discussion. You know, this past weekend, as I mentioned, I was doing consultations with various folks, and what happens when I do consultations is the core issues come forward of what's creating our behavior or what's causing us to have certain beliefs. And so what's really very important for us to begin to look at is the best way to explain it is who's running the show. And you've heard me talk about this before. It cannot be stressed more often, too often. But the idea of what parents unknowingly say or do to their children creates a massive effect that can affect an individual throughout their lifetime. So for you parents out there who are raising children, please be aware that your language is what is helping to mold your little ones. So be very aware how you speak to them, how you speak to your spouse or their parent or their grandparent or other adults around you. Children will pick up belief systems without you even realizing it. And whether it has to do with political beliefs, whether it has to do with how the world works, children will really learn more about how to live their life by the way they see you living your life than anything you could ever do. And to bring that up, there was a situation where a person that was had been really teased unmercifully, and that was the way the family interacted. It was not about giving compliments. It was about constant put downs. That's the way they joked. They came from a family of the way it was what I would call locker room humor of put downs and insults. That's the way they were communicating. And this particular person is still trying to move forward and outward and upward based on the self-esteem wounding that came forward during their childhood. And so it's very important that you as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher really be very aware of how you speak to those kids. They hang on every word that you say, whether you think so or not. Whether you believe they're listening or not, they hear it. So it's really more about talking to them about their positive nature rather than their negative nature. I had a consultation also once with a woman that felt that. And the reason this is coming forward is not to tell tales out of school, but to help those people listening, because I know that you're out there, is that their beliefs of their worth were based on and not only what their parents said, but what their brothers and sisters did to them and said to them. And so it's really important that, you know, everything gets really looked at and monitored. So for those folks out there that were raised by parents that had the idea that the way you motivate a child is to tell them what they did wrong, you may, for example, a person comes home with a report card and they got A's in most of their subjects, they got a B in one subject and a C in another subject. And you as a parent, instead of complimenting them about all the wonderful A's and the hard work they've done, instead of that, the parent focuses on the C and starts criticizing the C and criticizing the B. And that type of lack of recognition of the other hard work creates a resentment in the child, and it doesn't encourage them to do better. In fact, in many cases, what I've seen happen is it creates a rebellion, and they don't want to try at all. So, you know, the mentality is of some parents are, if I criticize them enough, they're going to want to do better. And I really have to encourage you to rethink your parenting skills and languaging if that's the case. So that's the story for on parenting today. We could go on and on, but let's see what's on the email. Okay. All right. Now, let's see. I have an email. So we talked about how the vortexes on the planet relate to the transition in 2012, or whenever it will occur, because they're also saying that it might not be 2012. And so the other question is, what is the meaning behind energy patterns that are not in physical form that interact with us when we are in physical form? That's a very interesting question. The energies that are around us that are influencing us are not only energies, but they're frequencies. And the energies and frequencies that ebb and flow from the multiple levels of consciousness make it possible for us, when we're in an altered state, if you will, to really look at the multiple possibilities that are out there. And on occasion, again, it depends on the person you're working with or the person themselves, you can actually move into a parallel universe to adjust, if you will, a situation in your current universe. Now, that might seem a little out there for you, but that's how they affect us. Yeah. And there's more there. The problem is I would need to be quiet for a longer time than I can be in order to download that information. I can't let a lot of dead air come forward in when I'm on the radio. So I have to keep talking, and these questions are so wonderful, but they're also deep, so that I have to actually wait for the download before I can bring it forth, because you see, I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. That was my producer who just told me that you all are out there listening, and that's great. Keep those friends and families calling in. But what I want to say is that when I start with this information, I start downloading, I need to be silent to hear it. And it's very hard to be silent and keep talking on the radio. So the best way to really get at these answers is to come to a lecture or invite me to your group so we can, you know, sit around and allow this deep information to come forward from the Akasha. The other way that is so helpful is if you call in with these wonderful questions, because there's something about the interaction of the voice, your voice, and that vibration and frequency. And when I have the records of the show open, that it creates a dialogue that enhances, deepens, and expands the energy. So if you're sitting out there listening and you got a question, this would be the time to call in. Okay. Let me look at this next question here. We have a question from a gal by the name of Mary Kay. And she wants, and this is kind of a universal question, her question is, what do I need to release to accept myself and feel whole and complete? Now, what's interesting about that question is that it actually relates to the what's happening on the planet here, and the energies and the vortexes and all of that, because what's going on is that we as humans right now are sitting on a power keg or a powder keg, and that powder keg is so important, because what's going on is we are coming to the full realization that we can no longer be walk around with blinders on. So we are searching for how to move out of our status quo and increase our vibrations so that we are able to accept ourselves in the magnificence that we are. And it's what I was talking about earlier, what the record keepers were talking about earlier, about the belief systems of your parents. Now, I want to tell you that this is all related. It's all related because it has everything to do with how you live your life in a certain frequency. And when you, I'll get you in a minute, caller, and when you get to a certain level of being willing to expand and raise your frequency, your belief systems begin to shift, because you can no longer hold on to the negative as your vibration shifts higher. So chew on that for a moment. We're going to talk to this caller. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Who is this calling?
My name is Barbara.
Barbara, hi. Where are you calling from, Barbara?
California.
I can't hear you.
California.
Oh, California. Another Californian. That's great. How can we... Have you listened before?
Occasionally.
Say again?
And I was enjoying your last comment about your frequency. I guess that's kind of where I'm going.
I'm going to have to stop you for a minute. Are you on a headset or something?
No. My, are
you in a
landline?
Huh?
Do you want me to speak up more?
Yes.
Because it's
okay.
Your last
better.
Comment
yes.
about the frequency
yes.
is maybe where I'm going of I have very difficult time trying to raise my spiritual frequency, you know, by meditating or anything. It just seems I just can't get there. You know, I get preoccupied.
So what you're saying is that there are times where you go into meditation and you get distracted?
Most of the time. It's almost like it should be easy, but I find it difficult.
And so what do you do with the thoughts when they come to you? Do you get angry at them?
Frustrated.
Mm-hmm. And I want to just share with you something. If you're in the middle of meditation or even the beginning of meditation and you're going for a peaceful feeling.
Yes.
It's counterproductive to feel anger at the thoughts that are coming in that try to distract you. I think you figured that out, right?
Right.
And so it's
trying to get into that next... occasionally I do, and it feels wonderful.
Right. But what's being suggested for you, though, Barbara, is instead of fighting those thoughts, have a pad of paper with you, write them down, and give them permission to stand on the side until you're ready to work with them.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. So you can either write them down. You don't have to look at what you're writing. Just scribble it down. And you just mentally say, thanks for sharing, and I'll be with you when I'm done. See, I've written it down. And then just keep doing that. You know, now another way is to wrap them in light and send them off. But, you know, thoughts can be very patient. And the reason they're coming in at the time they are is because they found an energy, a place, if you will, of your silence so that they can be heard.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So what I'm hearing is you have a very active mind.
Yeah.
Well, no, and the other piece is again, you like to be rather analytical about things, and so sometimes you get caught up in the details.
True.
And so as you're getting caught up in the details and you're mulling things over, the other thoughts don't have a chance to get in because you're kind of like put up a fence until you figure the details out.
True, true. That,
yeah.
Yeah, that really fits.
Say again?
I said that really fits.
Yeah. So what's real important here is for you to move into a place of allowing, a place of surrender, and a way of doing that is asking that your vibration and frequency, ask for the highest level of vibration and frequency of wisdom and the highest level of frequency of peace at this time.
Okay.
And so when you move into the meditation, I have a whole program that talks about how to go into the highest level of frequency and vibration. There's a series of that and that I teach. And so that's a snippet of what you can do with that. Is that
great.
Helpful?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I just tell your friends, I love California, and I plan to be out there hopefully in fall sometime.
Oh, good.
Are you near L.A. or where?
A couple hours.
Okay, because I typically come to L.A. or San Diego, but I go where I'm invited. So whoever has a spiritual community out there that would like me to come speak, I would be happy to do so. We just got to work out the details.
Okay, great. I'll look for it.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Barbara. Her name was Barbara. Sorry, Barbara. Okay, hello. Are you there? Hello? Okay, so I hope that was helpful for you out there to understand that your ability, if you will, for meditation isn't necessarily about blanking your mind. It's really more about you becoming one with the vibration of becoming one with the vibration of peace, okay? And yeah, that would be a good thing. So now the line should be open, okay? So if anyone wants to call in, this would be the time to call in. And I hope the number's not busy, but I'm going to give you the numbers again. It's 877-876-5227. And that's in the U.S., or 888-815-9756 in Canada and the U.S., or direct is 530-876-3222. So hopefully, if you're trying to call in and you can't get that number and you happen to know another number that I can be reached at right now, call that number and I'll relay the question. So I just don't want to broadcast it because I'm on the air right now. But there's somebody who just emailed me that said that she's getting a busy signal. So she knows the number to call me at privately if she wants to right now. Okay. We're going to go on to another question, and hopefully she'll be able to get through on that line. Okay. So do you have a caller on the line?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Donna.
Hey there.
It's Nikki.
Hey, Nikki.
How are you?
I thought you were called earlier. Here you are.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Nikki, and Nikki lives in Cleveland. She's also a student of the Akasha and Matrix Energetics, just like Lorraine is. And Nikki's been on the program with me a few times, many times, as a matter of fact. She also has good questions. So what's your question tonight, Nick?
Well, it's kind of like a family question, actually, that came up in a discussion this evening.
Can you talk a little louder? Because I got an air conditioner going on here.
I'm talking very loud. I don't know if we had a really bad connection with... Can you hear me?
I can, but yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm trying to... I'll talk very loud.
Okay.
Okay. So the issue that came up today is that my aunt was wondering about, that she doesn't want to come on the air.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, but she's trying to understand, how do you deal with, and this is in dealing with family members in different places, if you're dealing with a family member that is very prejudiced and then she has a daughter that has, you know, her husband, and they have a child of a mixed race.
Uh-huh.
And when you have another family member that doesn't want to deal with them because of that, they won't even hold the child. Now, how do these? She's wondering how does she deal with her daughter's, this mother of the child's pain at the fact that, you know, this family member does not want to hold her child and has this prejudice.
Well, the first thing that's coming forward from the record keepers is that it's a blessing that family member doesn't want to hold the child.
Okay.
It's a definite blessing, because if that family member was forced to hold the child, the negative energy that would be transferred just by the forcing of the holding and forcing of the interaction, that child, what I'm getting, is extremely intuitive.
Okay.
It's a very special, sensitive child. And so the idea here is they would really be best served to allow that child to have limited access or limited contact with anyone among the family that is not totally and completely accepting.
Okay.
And so even if that family member is a parent or a grandparent of,
mm-hmm.
it is better until the child becomes old enough to understand,
mm-hmm.
that this family member, it's better to keep the child away from that family member.
Okay.
See, what happens here is when a person like this is prejudiced, what's really being done is they're sitting in judgment. And so the response to the judgment is the other person responds in judgment against them. So instead of coming at this person with a sense of love, they're returning the judgment with judgment.
Right.
Which only makes the energy bigger.
Right.
So rather than that, it's you've heard me say this before, it's so important to drop the rope. Because there doesn't need to be a struggle. The idea here is, if that's the way you feel, that's just fine. We're going to be over here. We're not going to, you know, you don't have to be interact with us. That's okay. We love you, and when you're ready to interact with us and be loving back, we're going to be right over here, and we'll welcome you.
Right.
And that's the only attitude that needs to be done, because you cannot change that other person.
Right.
You can only approach whatever you're doing with love.
Right.
Including the person who's rejecting that other one, the little one. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. It makes total sense to me.
I
was trying to explain that, maybe in a different way. So, of course, your words are different, and this is always helpful, and to what comes forward. But then the response was, well, how do you deal with the mother's pain? How does she let go of the hurt that her child is not being accepted by this family member?
Well, clearly the daughter understood the attitude of that family member before she became involved in this relationship. This is what I'm hearing is this is not a new attitude.
Right.
And so the reality is that for her to feel hurt about something she already knew about,
right,
is kind
of her thinking that would be holding, thinking that this person was going to change.
Yeah, it's really inappropriate for her to consider that having this baby was going to change anybody.
Right.
And so the idea here is it's not about trying to force change. It's about moving into the allowing of the loving. And so this person who's rejecting her and her child has to be the cords have to be cut.
Uh-huh.
The cords have to be cut and the door needs to be left open. Those are the words I'm hearing.
Okay.
So, again, what that means is, I'm sorry you feel this way. Should you ever change your mind, you're always welcome and we will always love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mother of the daughter needs to guide her that way.
Right.
However, the mother of there's like you have the mother, the daughter, and the child.
Right.
Okay. The mother needs to be able to cut the cords and leave the door open also.
Right.
Not just the daughter and the child.
Right.
And so it's about releasing the energy that no longer serves, that is all steeped in judgment. The quicker the judgment can be released, the more peace that will be found. Because they can't change this person, and they're not
right.
going to. And the more they try, the angrier and the worse it's going to get, because this person, from what I'm getting, is extremely stubborn.
Oh, yeah, she's extremely stubborn.
Yeah. And so it's really not even an issue anymore, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So to continue...
So sometimes it's for us, and we're causing ourselves more pain by holding, thinking that this person is going to change.
Right. It's manipulation. If you do something, if a person plans their actions based on the intention of changing someone else, that's pure manipulation. And that never works.
Right.
And in fact, it backfires.
Right.
Is that helpful?
I think it will be, yes.
I mean, is she listening to the program now?
No, we're not able. She's not able to listen exactly because I didn't want feedback from the computer, but I'm
okay.
Writing notes.
Okay. And she can also call me directly, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she wasn't really wanting to do that at this point. But maybe in the future, you never know.
You never know. But she can also listen, the program's archived.
Right.
So she can actually go up and listen on the and that's for anybody else who wants to take notes on what was said that was said too fast and you didn't have a pencil or paper. You can go up to the BBS radio archives and plug in the date of the show, obviously, which is June 8th, 2008. They're not necessarily labeled because sometimes we talk about so many things I don't know how to label them. So, but that can be done. Yep.
Right.
So, anything
okay.
else going on your end?
Based on letting go of, this also came up earlier, we were discussing, based on letting go of how other people view you.
Uh-huh.
And what can be understood about... Yeah. Oh, if I do this, then they'll think of me that way, or they'll be mad at me, or they'll be this, or they'll be that. And I was trying to explain about how. What if you don't care what they think about, or what if it doesn't matter about what level of what they're holding their opinion of you? I'm saying this badly, but.
Are you talking about family members as well as the public?
Yes, family members as well as the public. Anybody, in fact.
Right.
As when we hold that there is some value, like, what can we understand about how much value we're placing on how other people view us?
Well, first of all, what's important to understand about this is that we all as humans have to come to a space of realizing that no one's opinion is more important than our own when it comes to us.
Right.
And so at that same point, it's really going to be important for us to give up wanting to look good rather than speaking our truth.
Right.
Because when you try to look good rather than speak your truth, all of a sudden what happens is you move into a phoniness, and it spins a web that is almost impossible to get out of from an energetic point of view. Because you're constantly worried about the comment the record keepers are making is you're constantly worrying if your slip is showing.
That's funny.
Yeah. So the idea here is rather than worrying about it, take the slip off.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think it's funny too. You know, so don't worry about people seeing the outline of your legs in your dress. You know, if you're that worried about your slip showing, take the slip off. And
right.
So that using that as a metaphor, you know, there's a statement that came forward from the Akashic Records, and you've heard the statement before, but I'm going to say it again. And the statement is, they will no longer control my being by their lack of loving.
Right.
And when we really get into that statement, and a person can really integrate that, they experience a freedom that they've never known before. So I'm not sure if this is answering your question or not. Is it?
Yes, it's definitely a helpful other viewpoint, that's for sure.
Okay, all right.
With some humor thrown in, so that's always fun.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, so sort of, you'll always remember the slip, you know?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, we're about 2 minutes out, and I know that Lorraine was trying to get in, and I don't know if she can or not. So,
any last comments? I will. No, I will. I will talk to you another time.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Oh no, thank you. I love your questions. Keep calling in. You know that.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, dear.
Bye.
Okay, bye bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Lorraine, you can call in now if you're still up. The phone number is here, 877-876-5227. We have about 2 more minutes to be on the air, or 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Want to let you know that you can always call me directly at 216-691-1233. You can ask questions. That number is really more for settling up or getting clarity if you asked a question, but more often than not, it's to set up a consultation so that you can go deeper into your own questions. That's what that number is for. That's my office number. It's got a 24-hour voicemail, so you can call anytime at 216-691-1233. I'd like to mention that there's going to be a conference in Chicago for Akashic Record Consultants International in October. You can go to their website, and it's www.akashicrecordconsultantsinternational. It's all spelled out, .org. So check that website out. Check out the conference, and we can go from there. So, tonight was a very special night. I want to thank everyone for calling in. I want to thank you loyal listeners. I know that Kelly emailed me something and I didn't get a chance to actually really move into an answer for Kelly or Mary Kay. Hopefully Mary Kay got a bit of her information. I want to thank you all first listeners. I want you to come back. Keep emailing me your questions. If you didn't answer them this week, I will try and get to them next week. And next week I will be in Wisconsin. And so we will look forward to hearing from you then. Again, this is Akashic Wisdom, and we're going to close the records of the show by saying we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that everyone listening, may their heart be opened, may their burdens be lifted, and may they truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on June 8, 2008, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. And I want to send a great happy birthday out for June 9th to Catherine Taylor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Thank you so much, and have a great week. Bye-bye.